Hello, and welcome to another edition of Maplewood Barn Radio Theater, brought to you in conjunction with KBIA. Tonight we bring you a whodunit, a mixed-up murder mystery by Stephen Leacock, entitled, oddly enough, Who Do You Think Did It? Or The Mixed-Up Murder Mystery. Before we begin our story, though, we should inform the audience that Mr. Leacock added a prefatory note to this tale, stating that anyone who correctly guesses who did it is entitled to a beautiful gold watch. They should collect the watch from their spouse or other close relative. And now we are proud to bring you our adaptation of Who Do You Think Did It? Or The Mixed Up Murder Mystery.
It was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon when I got the call from Masterman Throgton, my boss of the Metropolitan Planet, telling me about the murder. I could imagine his massive, impenetrable face as he spoke.
Kent! Thank God you answered your phone for a change. There's been a murder.
There are always murders, Chief. You know, a murder here, a murder there.
Yes, right, for God's sake, man. This was Kivas Kelly, murdered right in his own home. Why, we dined last night. I drove him home.
All right, settle down, Chief. Tell me what you know.
Well, he was a fine fellow, upstanding, a member of my club. In fact, he's the third member of my club that has been murdered in the last 2 weeks. At this rate, there won't be any club members left in a few years.
Easy, Mr. Throgton, easy. What can you tell me about the murder? Have you talked to the police?
Yes, of course. Kivas was found dead in his home on Riverside Drive with every indication, or at least with a whole lot of indications, of murder. They found him fully dressed in his evening clothes, lying on his back on the floor of the billiard room with his feet stuck up on the edge of the table. His evening tie was twisted tightly around his neck, using a billiard cue. He had apparently died from strangulation. A couple of bullets entered his body, one on each side, but they went out again. His hands were folded across his chest. One of them still held a white billiard ball. There was no sign of a struggle or any disturbance in the room. A square piece of cloth was apparently missing from the victim's dinner jacket. That's it. That's all we have.
All right, Chief. Just remember, I'm a reporter, not a detective.
Yes, but after unearthing that meatpacking scandal and pitilessly exposing several of the socialites around town, who is there but Transom Kent to unravel this mystery?
All right, boss. I'm on my way to Riverside Drive. I drove over as quickly as I could, and who was there to greet me but the Chief Inspector? Ah, Chief Inspector Edwards, I assume from the police cordon and groups of morbid curiosity seekers that I have found the home of Mr. Kivas Kelly, recently deceased?
Yes, this is it. Your powers of deduction never cease to amaze me, Mr. Kent.
Are you baffled, Edwards?
Baffled again, Mr. Kent. I thought I could have solved this one, but I can't.
What about tracks? Footprints. Have you thought of that?
Oh yes. First thing, the whole lawn's covered with them, all stamped down. Look at these, for instance. These are the tracks of a man with a wooden leg. In all probability, a sailor, newly landed from Java, with a bad cough and a tin whistle tied round his belt.
Yes, I see that. The weight of the whistle weighs him down a little on his right side, and the cough is evident from the deeper indentations here and there.
Do you think, Mr. Kent, a sailor from Java with a wooden leg would commit a murder like this?
They generally do, as soon as they land.
And look at these marks here, Mr. Kent. You recognize them, surely. Those are the footsteps of an actor who is out of work. See how there are only toe prints, no heels?
Yes, an unemployed actor. He'd definitely commit a murder.
Oh, there's lots more, but they're no good. The morbid curiosity seekers were walking all over the place while we were drawing the cordon around it.
What about fingerprints?
Fingerprints? Oh, no, that's no good. The house is full of them.
Were there any fingerprints of Italians with that peculiar incurvature of the ball of the thumb that denotes a Sicilian brigand?
Oh, there were three of those. No, Mr. Kent, the fingerprint stuff gets us nowhere.
Inspector, what about mysterious women? Have you seen any around?
Four went by this morning. One at 11:30, one at 12:30, and two together at 1:30. At least I think they were all mysterious. All women look mysterious to me.
Hmm. I have to try something else. Let me reconstruct the whole thing. I must weave a chain of logic and analysis. Kivas Kelly was a bachelor, was he not?
He was. He lived here alone.
Very good. I suppose he had in his employ a butler who had been with him for some 20 years and...
Yes, he did.
I suppose you've arrested him?
Oh, immediately. We always arrest the butler, Mr. Kent. They expect him. In fact, this man Williams gave himself up at once.
And let me see. I presume there was a housekeeper who lived on the top floor and who had been stone deaf for 10 years?
Precisely.
And she heard nothing during the murder?
Not a peep. This may have been because she was deaf.
Good point. And I suppose there was a coachman, a thoroughly reliable man, who lived with his wife at the back of the house?
Yes, of course. But he had taken his wife over to see a relation on the night of the murder and did not return until very late. Mr. Kent, we've been over all that. It leads nowhere.
Were there any other people who came to the house often?
There was Mr. Kelly's stenographer, Alice Delaray, but she only came in the mornings.
Have you seen her? What is she like?
Oh, I have seen her. She's a Lulu.
Ha, a Lulu.
Oh, yeah, a peach, a knockout.
Ah, yes, a beautiful young girl to rescue. That's one of my specialties. I will save her life at all costs.
Do you think she's in danger?
All beautiful young women in this type of situation are in danger, Inspector. But have no fear, I will protect her. Now, take me into the house.
Yes, I'll take you upstairs to the billiard room. The body has been removed for the inquest, but nothing else is disturbed.
I see no sign of a struggle here.
No, we couldn't see struggle anywhere, but then we never do.
Ha-ha! What have we here?
That's a window, Mr. Kent.
Yes, it has apparently been opened from the outside. The dust on the sill outside has been disturbed as if by a man of extraordinary agility lying on his stomach.
Yes, don't bother that, Mr. Kent. It's always there.
True. And did you see that trap door in the ceiling?
We did. The dust around the rim has been disturbed. The trap opens into the hollow of the roof. A man of extraordinary dexterity might use it, using a billiard cue to open the trap, then a bit of wire with a hook. But it would take an acrobat. Well, that's no good. For the matter of that, look at this huge old-fashioned fireplace. A man of extraordinary power could use the chimney. Or this dumbwaiter on a pulley for serving drinks, leading down into the maid's quarters. A man of extreme indelicacy might ride up and down in it.
Stop a minute. What about that hat, decorated with flowers?
Oh, we thought of that, and we have left it there. If someone comes back for that hat, they certainly had a hand in the mystery. We think...
Look, the clue to the mystery. The positions of the billiard balls. The white ball in the very center of the table, and the red is standing just on the corner of the end pocket. What does it mean, Edwards? What does it mean?
I don't know. I don't play billiards.
Neither do I, but I can find out. Quick, to the nearest bookstore. I must buy a book on billiards.
But Mr. Kent... He's gone. Now, I wonder why Throgton wanted me to put a watch on Kent, $100 a day to shadow him. Why?
The inquest of Kivas Kelly was held the following day. But far from offering me any solutions, it only made the mystery deeper still. The district attorney questioned the coroner about the results, but the medical testimony was inconclusive.
The body shows evident marks of violence. There is a distinct lesion of the esophagus and a decided excoriation of the fibula. The mesodenum is gibbous. There is a certain quantity of flab in the binonum, and the proscenium is wide open. And there was half a pint of arsenic in the stomach.
Is it unusual to find arsenic in the stomach?
In the stomach of a clubman? No.
Is not half pint a large quantity?
I would not say that.
Is it a small quantity?
I really can't say.
Would half a pint of arsenic cause death?
Of a clubman? No, not necessarily.
That was all. The other testimony was no help in unraveling the mystery. The butler swore...
On the very day of the murder, I served Mr. Kelly a half pint of arsenic at lunch... But that is quite usual with my employer.
You serve arsenic to Mr. Kelly?
Did I say arsenic? Oh, no. I'm sorry. I meant apricot juice. Sorry.
And how long have you worked for Mr. Kelly?
20 years.
Next, the coachman, an Irishman, was questioned. He had been in Mr. Kelly's employ for 3 years, ever since his arrival from the old country.
Is it true that you had, on the day of the murder, a violent quarrel with Mr. Kelly?
It is.
Did you threaten to kill him?
No, I threatened to knock his block off, but not to kill him.
I see, yes. That'll be all, thank you. I now call to the stand Miss Alice DeLaRay.
Miss DeLaRay quietly stepped forward to the witness box. Tall, graceful, and willowy, Alice DeLaRay was in the first burst of womanhood. As I looked at the beautiful girl, I realized that if her first burst was like this, what would the second or the third be like? She gave her evidence in a clear, sweet, low voice.
I have been an employee of Mr. Kelly's for 3 years. I was his stenographer, but I only came in the mornings and always left by lunchtime.
Where did you generally have lunch?
What's that got to do with anything?
All right. What type of pencils do you use when taking stenography?
No. 2 Pittman's, of course.
Do you enjoy going to the movies?
On occasion, yes.
Great. Maybe we
Please get to the point.
Oh, yes. Is this your hat that was found hanging in the billiard room after the crime?
You can't ask her such personal questions. Where is your sense of dignity, Mr. District Attorney? Miss DeLaRay, you may step down.
But the real sensation of the day came from the evidence offered by my boss, Masterman Throgton, General Manager of the Planet.
Yes, Kivas Kelly dined with me at our club on the fateful evening. Then I drove him to his home.
When you went into the house with the deceased, how long did you remain there with him?
That I must refuse to answer.
Would it incriminate you?
It might.
Then you have every right not to answer. Don't ask him about that anymore. Ask something else.
Did you play a game of billiards with the deceased?
Stop. That question I can't allow. It's too direct, too brutal. It sounds somehow mean, dirty. Ask another.
Very well. Then tell me, Mr. Throgton, if you ever saw this blue envelope before.
Never in my life.
Of course he didn't. Let's have a look at it. What is it?
This envelope was found sticking out of the waistcoat pocket of the deceased.
You don't say. And what's in it?
It says, "This is the last will and testament of me, Kivas Kelly of New York. When I pass away, I leave everything that I possess to my nephew, Peter Kelly."
Has anybody here seen Peter Kelly?
Mr. Coroner, it is my opinion that if Peter Kelly is found, the mystery is solved.
I hereby order the butler to be released and issue a warrant for the arrest of Peter Kelly.
The remains of the unfortunate Kivas Kelly were laid to rest on the following day. None followed him to the grave except a few morbid curiosity seekers who rode on top of the hearse. And the mystery of Kivas Kelly's death was forgotten by everyone except me. I was on the trail, sleepless, going without food, looking everywhere for Peter Kelly. After days of searching, I finally picked up his trail in an ice cream parlor, which he apparently frequented at one time. I found out that Peter had lived with his uncle until a little less than 3 years ago. Then, suddenly, he had disappeared. Just vanished. But did I give up? No siree. If nothing else, I am intrepid. I turned to the only person I could think of who might help and called Inspector Edwards. Inspector, I must have more clues. Take me again to the Kelly residence. I must reanalyze my first analysis.
All right, I'll meet you there.
It is obvious that we overlooked something in this fateful billiard room.
We always do.
Now tell me, what is your own theory, the police theory of this murder? Give me your first theory first, and then go on to any other theories you might have.
Well, our first theory, Mr. Kent, was that the murder was committed by a sailor with a wooden leg newly landed from Java.
Yes, that's exactly right.
We knew he was a sailor by the extraordinary agility needed to climb up the 30 feet of bare brick wall to the window, the fact that he was from the East Indies we knew from the particular knot around the victim's neck. We knew that he had a wooden leg and a hacking cough. We knew it. Well, I can't remember how we knew it, but we did.
Tut-tut, you knew it, Edwards. Because when he leaned against the billiard table, the impress of his hand on the mahogany was deeper on one side than the other. The man was obviously top-heavy and suffering from a lung disorder. But you abandoned this first theory.
Certainly, Mr. Kent. We always do. Our second theory was...
Aha! What is this on the floor? A little square of black cloth.
Huh. We never saw that.
Cloth. The missing piece of Kivas Kelly's dinner jacket.
Mr. Kent!
You
are Mr. Kent, are you not? They told me that you were here.
Yes, and you are Miss Delaray, correct?
Oh, Mr. Kent, help me. Save me.
Calm yourself, my young lady. Trust me. Tell me all.
Mr. Kent, I came for my hat.
Sit down, please. Do you mean this light gossamer hat with flowers on it?
Oh, I'm so glad to get it back. I can never thank you enough. I was afraid to come for it.
Oh, it's all right. The police theory was that it was the housekeeper's hat. You're welcome to it.
You have more to say than that. Tell me all.
Oh, I will, Mr. Kent. That dreadful night. I was here. I saw it. At least I heard it all. Oh, Mr. Kent, it was dreadful. I had come back that evening to the library to finish some work. I knew that Mr. Kelly planned to dine out and that I would be alone. I had been working quietly for some time when I became aware of voices in the billiard room. I tried not to listen, but they seemed to be quarreling, and I couldn't help hearing. Oh, Mr. Kent, it was horrible.
Now, just take it easy. You're doing fine.
I heard one say, "Get your foot off the table. You can't put your foot on the table." Then the other said, "Well, keep your stomach off the side cushion then." Then presently one said, quite fiercely, "Get back into balk there, back up 15 inches." And the other voice said, "By God, I'll shoot from here." Then there was a dead stillness. And then a voice almost screamed, "You've potted me, you've potted me, that ends it." And then I heard the other say in a low tone, "Forgive me, I didn't mean it. I never meant it to end that way." I was so frightened, Mr. Kent. I couldn't stay any longer. I rushed downstairs and ran all the way home. Then the next day I read what had happened, and I knew that I had left my hat here, and I was so afraid. Oh, Mr. Kent, save me.
Now, Miss Delaray, you are safe. Tell me only one thing. The man who played against Kivas Kelly, did you see him?
Only for one moment, through the keyhole.
What was he like? Did he have an impenetrable face?
Oh, yes, he did.
Was there anything massive about his face?
Oh, yes, yes, it was all massive.
Miss Delaray, this mystery is now about to be solved. When I have it all figured out, may I come and tell you everything?
At any hour of the day or night, you may come to me.
Then she was gone. Within moments, I was on the phone. Hello, Mr. Throgton? Kent speaking. The Riverside mystery is solved.
Has anybody found Peter Kelly?
Mr. Throgton, the story is a long one. Suppose I relate it to you. Over a game of billiards?
What the devil do you mean?
Let me come to your house and tell the story. It can best be illustrated over a billiard table. There. Now the balls are standing in the very same position on the table as on the night of the murder. White in the center, red in the corner.
And what is that supposed to mean?
The position of those balls, Mr. Throgton, tell the whole story. I have something to say to you. You know already what it is.
Well, what is it?
Mr. Throgton, 2 weeks ago, you gave me a mystery to solve. Tonight, I can give you the solution. Do you want it?
Well...
A man's life may be played out on a billiard table. A man's soul, Throgton, may be potted.
What kind of foolery is this? What do you mean?
I mean that your crime is known. Plotter, schemer that you are found out. Hypocrite, traitor. Yes, Masterman Throgton. Or rather, let me give you your true name. Peter Kelly. Murderer, I denounce you.
Handsome Kent, you are either an idiot or a liar.
Ah, but what if I am both? As an idiot, I could be telling the truth when I think I am lying.
Kent, from the first moment of your mock investigation, I knew who you were. Your every step was shadowed, your every movement dogged. Transome Kent, by your true name, Peter Kelly, murderer, I denounce you.
Ha! You're the imbecile and the liar. I am not Peter Kelly.
There is a gentleman to see you, sir.
Who?
The gentleman's name is Mr. Peter Kelly, sir.
Well, show him in, for heaven's sake. Mr. Kelly, come in, please. I'm Mr. Throgton, and this is Mr. Kent. Please sit down.
Thank you. It rests my wooden leg.
I see by your uniform that you are a sailor.
Yes, I've just come from Java.
I see it all now. Throgton, I wronged you. We should have stuck with our first theory. We knew it was a sailor with a wooden leg from Java. There is no other explanation.
Gentlemen, I've come to make my confession. It is the usual and right thing to do, gentlemen, and I want to go through with it while I can.
One moment. Do you mind telling me if you have a tin whistle tied around your belt?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I do. But let me begin by telling you the story of my life.
No, don't do that.
No, no, no.
I think I have a right to, and you have got an obligation to listen. As a boy, I had a wild, impulsive nature. If it could have been curbed...
But it wasn't. What next?
I was the sole relative of my uncle, and heir to great wealth. Pampered with every luxury, I was on footing of...
One minute. How many legs did you have then?
Two. On a footing of ease and comfort, I soon lost...
Your leg. Yes, yes, we see that, Mr. Kelly. Please stop dithering around and come to the point.
I will. Gentlemen, bad as I was not altogether bad.
Of course not.
Probably not more than 90%.
Then love entered my life, gentlemen. She was innocent as the driven snow. 3 years ago, she came to my uncle's house. One day, hardly knowing what I was doing, I took her...
Yes, yes?
You took her?
To the aquarium. I loved the water. My uncle heard about it and disapproved. There was a violent quarrel. He disinherited me and drove me from the house. I had a liking from the sea as a boy.
Excuse me, from what boy?
I ran away as a sailor before the mast.
Pardon me, I'm not used to sea terms. Why didn't you run behind the mast?
Hear me out. I am nearly done. We sailed for the East Indies, for Java. There a Malay pirate bit off my leg. I returned home bitter, disillusioned. The mere wreck that you see before you... I had but one thought. I meant to kill my uncle. I came to his house at night. With the aid of my wooden leg, I scaled the wall, lifted the window, and entered the billiard room. There was murder in my heart. Thank God I was spared from that. At the very moment when I got in, a light was turned on in the room, and I saw before me my angel, my love. "Peter," she cried. Then, with a woman's intuition, she exclaimed, "You have come to murder your uncle. Don't do it." My whole mood changed. I broke down and cried like a boob.
Go on.
When I was done crying, we heard voices. "Quick," she exclaimed. "Flee, hide. He must not see you." She rushed into the adjoining room, closing the door. My eye had noticed already the trap above. I climbed to it. Shall I explain it now?
Don't. I can analyze that later.
There I saw what passed. I saw Mr. Throgton and Kivas Kelly come in. I watched their game. They were greatly excited and quarreled over it. Throgton lost.
It's true. He potted my white.
Precisely. He missed the red. Your analysis was wrong, Mr. Kent. The game ended and Mr. Throgton left. You started your reasoning from a false premise. But there was one shot that bothered my uncle. With the white ball in the center of the table and the red stuck in the corner, he tried it again and again. He couldn't make it. His hand was too unsteady. Finally, he took off his tie and made it into a long loop round his neck, then put his cue through it. "Now, by God," he said. "I can do it," he said.
Ha, fool that I was.
Exactly. In the excitement of watching my uncle, I forgot where I was. I leaned too far over and fell out of the trap. I landed on my uncle, just as he was sitting on the table to shoot. He fell.
I see it all. He hit his head, the loop tightened, the cue spun round, and he was dead.
That's it. I saw that he was dead, so I didn't hang around. I straightened the knot in his tie, laid his hands reverently across his chest, and left.
Mr. Kelly, the logic of your story is wonderful. It exceeds anything I have seen for months. But there is just one point that I fail to grasp. The two bullet holes?
They were old ones. My uncle in his youth had led a wild life in the West. He was full of bullet holes. My time, gentlemen, is short. I feel that I am withering. It rests with you, gentlemen, whether or not I walk out of this room a free man.
Mr. Kelly, here is my hand. A few days later, I called at the boarding house of Miss Alice Delaray. I wore my best suit and felt exultant yet grave with such momentous decisions right in front of me. I wondered if I was acting purely for my own happiness or whether there was a true concern for her as well. Then I became resolved and stepped up to ring the bell. A maid soon answered. Hello, is Miss Delaray in by any chance?
Miss Delaray? She left here 2 days ago. If you are Mr. Kent, there's a note on the mantelpiece for you. Dear Mr. Kent, Peter and I were married yesterday morning and have taken an apartment in Java, New Jersey. You will be glad to hear that Peter's cough is much better. The lawyers have given Peter his money without any issues. We both feel that your analysis was simply wonderful. Peter says he doesn't know where he would be without it. Very sincerely, Alice Kelly. P.S. I forgot to mention that I saw Peter in the billiard room that night, but your analysis was marvelous just the same.
And now, having thought about it over and over, it occurs to me that there may have been some points about the case that I never did get exactly right.
Perhaps our intrepid reporter, Transome Kent, did miss a few details here and there, but it looks like everything turned out for the best. Except, of course, for Kivas Kelly. We hope you have enjoyed this presentation of Who Do You Think Did It? Or The Mixed Up Murder Mystery by Stephen Leacock, presented by the Maplewood Barn Radio Players. Our performers today were Joe Bogue as Transome Kent, Byron Scott as Throgton, Darren Helwidge as Inspector Edwards, Joe Hayes as the coroner, Carrie Butters as the district attorney, and Terry Yates as the butler, the Irishman, and Peter Kent, featuring Amy Humphrey as Alice and the maid. The show was engineered by Darren Helwidge and adapted for radio by Brad Buchanan. We hope you will join us again next week for another classic story brought to you by Maplewood Barn Radio Theater, right here on KBIA.